You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you. Such a blessing to always have Simon part of our leadership. Someone who loves the Lord, who loves praying and heads up prayer ministry and pastoral care. And so blessed to have Simon. I want to say welcome to everyone and those joining us from online. You know, as a pastor of this church here, it's an interesting season to be leading a church when every few days you're getting an email or a phone call from someone and they've got COVID or they're sick or there's something going on. And I just want to encourage us as a church community to remind ourselves that we're actually family and that we are to really encourage one another, pray for each other, stand with each other. Because we talk a lot about being brothers and sisters, family, but I reckon this season here is where we as a church can really display what true family is all about. That we're going to pray, we're going to visit, we're going to say, how can we practically love you and bring meals and encourage you? If there's a scripture that you feel that God is laying your heart for a family, send it to them. And if we do that, I think we will get through this season together. So can I encourage us as a church to keep doing that? Micah and Ben and Kate, who's not here, you guys go well. We love you guys a lot. And you guys go over there and do what you have to do. We are praying for you guys. We are standing with you guys. And we cannot wait to hear the amazing stories of how God will use you to love the people, the refugee from Ukraine and Poland. So, you know, keep up the amazing work. This morning here, I'm going to continue on Proverbs. And I'm doing something I've never done before. It's tag team preaching. Ooh, tag team preaching. So I'm just going to preach for 15 minutes. And then I'm going to invite Jim, a good friend of mine, who's a pastor, missionary from Bangkok. And he's going to wrap up the sermon. Because, you know, if my preaching is a bit flat, I know Jim's going to finish it off well. That's why I got him, right? And Jim here, if you know, he spent the last 15, 20 years living and working in Southeast Asia. And the brother here, he speaks fluent Mandarin, because I get confused between Mandarin, Cantonese, Hokkien, all those different dialects, but it's Mandarin. So if you speak a bit of Mandarin and you want to just to try him out, test him out, go find him after service and just, the only thing I can say, bro, is ni hao, that's all. And I think that's a dish, right? Is that right? That's a dish, I think so. Anyhow, we've been going through the Proverbs, is that right? All right, and so this is the last, I hate to say this is the last sermon on the Proverbs, wisdom for following Jesus, because next week I'm going back to what series? Mark, because we're going to finish off Mark. And we should know by now, the Proverbs are short, wise saying, where Solomon is just imparting wisdom for his children. But as we read the Proverbs today as Christian, it's God's invitation for us to take on his wisdom. There's a lot of compare and contrast in the Proverbs. The wise will follow God's wisdom, the foolish won't. And so as we're studying through the Proverbs and as you're reading that at home, just remember it's God's invitation for us to take on his wisdom for godly living. Now, if you've studied the Proverbs, you would know, you should know, and maybe you don't, there is a theme that pops up frequently. There's a theme. And the theme is friendship, all right? You can do your own study, read Proverbs, and you notice that there's a lot that comes up about people surrounding you, friendship. And I believe Solomon wanted his sons, his daughters, to understand that if you really want to be wise, you've got to have good people around you, right? And this theme of friendship is not exclusive to Proverbs. It's actually throughout Scripture. Let me explain a little bit. At the very beginning, before the creation of the world, God existed in community. All right, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The old church fathers would call this relationship perichoresis, which simply means a divine dance. It's a relationship of mutual love and respect and honor of friendship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in other words, before they created, they were already in relationship and friendship. All right. When someone tells you, oh, the reason why God created the world is because God wanted friendship and God wanted us to be his friends. No. God was already in relationship. He was already in love and community and friendship before he created the world. Okay, so keep that in mind. When God created the world, he created Adam and Eve, and we should know in the Bible, everything was good. Is that right? Everything was good except for one thing. Does anyone know? One thing wasn't good. It was not good for Adam to be alone. Remember? So God said, I'm going to give him a companion. I'm going to give him a helper. I'm going to give him a wife. In other words, a friend. I see that it's important for Adam to be in relationship, to be in friendship. You get that, right? So then we see this theme of friendship and relationship. We read through the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see that God relates to us in relationship and friendship. For example, in the Old Testament, it's the imagery of a father and children, sons. In the Proverbs, there is also a part with mother and children. In the New Testament, it's God relating us, what? Jesus as the what? The groom and we the bride. Again, relationship and friendship. When you have a father or a mother, there is this friendship, there is this relationship. When you have a spouse, it's the same thing. So we see that throughout Scripture. We get to the gospel. Jesus now, the great master. And look what he says in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So now Jesus goes, no, you're not servants. We're friends. The theme of friendship takes place in the gospel. Now, the book of Acts, Holy Spirit is given, and now the church is birthed, remember? And the church now are a group of people living in community. They're sharing possession. They're sharing food. They're living together. And we see what? Relationship and friendship, right? We get to the very end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. If you know, in chapter 19, Jesus has this feast. It's the feast. It's the wedding feast where he prepares a table. He prepares the food, and surrounding him are his friends, you and I. Throughout Scripture, the theme of relationship and friendship is very, very prominent. And here's the reason why. It's because God knows that we need each other to follow him better. That's why that theme of being in relationship, because God is always in relationship, is very important for God's children. To be human is to be in relationship, to be in friendship. And that's why we thank social media, right? Facebook, Instagram, right? They have helped us connect with people, helped us develop healthy friendship, not, all right? Social media was meant to connect us better, but in reality, social media has rather disconnected us. Today, we are more lonelier than we were decades ago. I read somewhere that the Australian fella blokes, we struggle to find genuine friendship. They said that the average Aussie bloke don't have any good friends. 1.2 million Aussie fellas between the ages of 30 to 65 have few or no friendship. Let me read you a quote from a study back in 2018 from Luria. Loneliness is a significant health concern in Australia, with conservative estimates indicating that around 3 million Australian adults from all walks of life are experiencing a high level of loneliness. You see, we live in a world today where loneliness is everywhere. Yeah, we may have how many followers on social media, we may have how many friends on Facebook, but really, are they true friends? Are they genuine friends? Statistic tells us that no, they're not real friends. They may send us a message because Facebook reminds them it's your birthday, but the reality is that they wouldn't know anything about you, and they'll never be in your corner. And so if friendship is so important in Scripture, and if God operates in community, and we are created in his image, I think we must really take a serious look about friendships and connection. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, brothers and sisters, they're family. And there's an obligation, right? There's an obligation for our siblings to be there for us. You expect your family to be there by your side, in your corner. That's what family are for, amen? But the proverb says that a true friend is there all the time, which means true friendships are people who are not in your family, but they have made the decision to be in your corner. They have made a decision to love you. It's their choice, remember? They want to be where you are when you are most down. They're not going to give up in you. You see, true friends are those who are with you no matter what season you're in. They're in your corner, all right? They don't judge you. They respect you. They listen to you. They bring joy to you. They're loyal to you. They're trustworthy. In other words, they will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And they will comfort you in those seasons of darkness. But here's the thing, it's their decision. There's no obligation. Family, you better be there because that's what families are for. But friends, true friends, it's a choice that I want to be with you. And so when we look at friendship and wisdom, every one of us here, we have to make a decision to be with people. You know, when we're younger, right? When you're younger, your parents usually, I hate to say this, but your parents usually decides who your friends are because they'll organize the play date and they kind of like that family and they, so they get you to go to their house and they kind of organize the friendships for you. But as you get older, you have to make that decision, amen? And you have to find people where you say, it's my decision to actually be their friend. But we have to be very wise in who we choose, amen? We have to be very wise in who we welcome into that friendship circle. The Proverbs talks about that. Look at Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked lead them astray. How about Proverbs 13, 20? Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Or 27, 17. As iron sharpens irons, so a friend sharpens a friend. Yeah, we need to know that we have to be wise in who we choose as our close friends. Find the people that will sharpen us, the people who are wise. There was a funny story of two guys hiking, hunting out in America, and suddenly one yells, ah! And the other one looks up and notices a grizzly bear heading towards them. So the first one frantically puts on his runner shoes, and his anxious friend says, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know that you can't outrun these bears? And this guy says, I know. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you, right? So we're going to be careful. We're going to be careful who we select, right? Be very, very careful because there's certain people, they don't really care about you. They care about themselves. They only use us when they need us, amen? So we have to be wise in who we choose as those close friends. You don't need to have a lot of close friends. You don't need to have 1,000 or 100. I think you only need a handful of really true friends who would always be with you. And it's their decision to be in your corner. Look what Paul said, once said in 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. There's a saying out there, we become who we hang with. Is it not true? There was a season many moons ago where yours, pastor, yours truly, I don't want you to visualize this, but this is true. I was into cycling. And the thought of me wearing spandex and Lycra, it's not going to work. I don't wear that stuff, all right? You know, just I'm happy to ride. I'm happy to look at buying a nice carbon fork bike, and I'm happy to cycle, but I'm not wearing any spandex. I'm not wearing any Lycra because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel it's godly. I don't feel that blokes should be wearing shorts that are so tight that you need your wives to help you take them off. You know what I mean? Well, let me just say this. After weeks and months of riding with some of the guys in this church and outside this church here, I agree that that saying is true, that you become who you hang around with, all right? And that's what I find myself doing, okay? So let me say this, that if our job, if our desire is to be better followers of Jesus Christ, because if an apprentice, a follower of Jesus, has the desire to better follow Jesus in all that we do, that I would say you need true friends who helps you follow Jesus. You need true friends who would always encourage you to keep following Jesus, to help you fix your eyes on Jesus all the time, to remind us that Jesus always loves us in the good times to help us thank Jesus, in the bad time to help us trust in Jesus, friends who draws us closer to Jesus. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to encourage us that as followers of Jesus Christ, it's very, very hard. And so we need people who are not going to help us with, you know, how to make money or how to, you know, get a better step to climb the corporate ladder. They're all good. But if the whole purpose for a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus, is to follow Jesus better, then let's find friends who will help us follow Jesus better, right? Don't find the friends who are always by your side, in your corner, and you want to go and hurt someone, and they're like, yeah, I'll come and join you and hurt that person. Stay away from those people. They're nice people, but find the people who helps you, who says, actually, is it actually wise to hurt that person? Is it wise to go and slash their tires? No, it's not. We should love and we should pray and forgive. So find people who would help us follow Jesus better. So two applications, quick application before I invite Jim on stage here. Number one is this. Can I say that true friends, find them, look for them at Sun Life Church. I'm not saying that we are a perfect church. I'm not saying that there are some great people here. There are, but there are some not so good people because we're all on a journey, all right? But let me say this. Is that if all we do here on Sunday is come and check our kids in kids' church, come back in the auditorium, sing a few songs, raise our hands, say a few amens, laugh at the pastor's joke, and then after the service go and pick up our children, then head out and go home. If that's all we are doing, we're missing out. Like we should not be living like that. If you are the last to get in service because you don't really mind what we're singing because you just want to hear a word and then you feel that, yeah, I've ticked the box, I've been a Christian, and then I'm the first out of here, we're missing something. Because in this community here, God will give you someone or a few people to help you in your journey of pursuing to be more like Jesus. And we've got to find them in this church. And I really believe there are some in this church here who help you. Because right now, if you feel that you're struggling to follow Jesus and it's really, really hard, can I encourage you to find some true friendships here? And how are you going to do that? Well, you've got to get out there. In other words, you've got to get involved. Amen? Get involved. Get into a serving team. Serve with a few people. Meet some people as you serve together. You know, for me, can I be honest with you? I've been watching some of these documentaries on Hillsong, and I love Hillsong, what's going on there. But one of the comments that I hear in these documentaries that really breaks my heart is that a lot of people think that the pastor of the church is all about free labor and all about getting people to do their work. That is so far from my heart. Because I know something, that when you are serving with other people, and I quote my favorite preacher, Timothy Keller, he says this, a serving Christian is a growing Christian. When you serve with people and you're doing work with people, you're going to wrestle, you're going to struggle, and you're going to learn to love and have more grace for the individual because God's going to grow you. So for me, serving has never been about free labor and getting you to do the work that I should be doing. No, it's all about you coming into community, working with people, meeting people, and hopefully maybe developing some true friendship. Get out there and get involved. Another area you can get involved is get into a small group. All right, go into a small group, into a connect group. Yeah, there might be 10 weird people, but there might be one good person. And that's all right. All right, and you only need one. All right, who cares about the other 10? You don't need to like them all, but there might be one. Because right now, the reason why some of us are not in small group is because you've probably had bad experiences, right, in a previous church, or you're just going like, I don't know, I can't go in a small group because I don't know my Bible well, and they might look down upon me. No. You get into a small group so that you can do life with people and then hopefully build that relationship and friendship and find one or two true friends, someone who's always in your corner to help you follow Jesus better. And the other 8, 9 or so, yeah, it's okay. More grace towards them. I told you we're not a perfect church, right? We're not a perfect church. That means for young adults, right? That means for youth, whatever it is, get into these small groups, all right? And meet people, all right? If you're one of those where you go, I don't have time, well, try to create time. I want you to meet people. I want you to get involved, and hopefully there'll be some true friends there. Can I also say this? So come here regularly as well. Come here regularly on Sunday. Right, we come here regularly Sunday, listen carefully, not to look for a partner. Not to look for a partner. All right, we come here regularly to what? To worship the Lord, to serve one another, to pray together, to hear the word of God preached. But also, you never know, God, who's always operating, can allow divine connections where you meet someone, where that person can be in your corner. And that person can be with you to encourage you, to help you follow Jesus better. So get involved, Sun Life Church. Don't just be someone who goes, I want to come here and just sing a few songs, hear the pastor preach, and then go. There's more to life than that. Yeah, the Bible is very clear that we need to find genuine friendship. Amen? We should not be just a friendly church. We should be a church of friends. Amen? And here's my last point before I invite my brother up to share the message here, is that as a church, right, as a church, I really believe that we should display what true, genuine friendship looks like, right? I think as a church, right, we should really display that so that when someone comes here on a Sunday morning or they go into a young adults gathering on a Thursday night or they go into a connect group during the week or they're part of youth, when they come and they look at this space and they go, my goodness, I really see genuine, true, authentic friendship. I really see that. And that's so attractive and that's so contagious, right? And that really helps people go, well, I think God is doing a beautiful work here. I want to be around here so that I can grow to be a better follower of Jesus Christ, right? And so you might say, well, how do we do that, Pastor? Let me give you three things. Number one, really show genuine interest. Well, really show genuine interest. When you talk to someone, when you meet someone for the first time, really try to, you know, show interest, get to know their name. There's a saying, you know, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. That's right. Really care for people, love for people. Number two, you know, I think we should smile more. You're already a smiling church. And not with a mask. Some of you wearing a mask, it's very hard to smile. Smile with your eyes. I don't know. Just smile with your eyes. I don't know what that looks like, but just try to smile. All right. Yeah. When you smile, your eyes gets a bit smaller. It's true, right? Yeah, smile with your eyes. Okay. If your eyes are really small, then I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing much I can say there, right? But you know what? If we smile more, you know, when we're looking at each other, and we smile more, that builds friendship. Is that right? If you're not smiling, if you've got, I don't know how to say this. If your normal resting face is not happy. You just need prayer. That's just there. The last one here is talk less. Last week's message, talk less, be good listeners. Be good listeners. Let other people do the talking. As you talk less and let the other person talk, that's how you get to build friendship and connection. Okay, so I'm going to finish off my short message there. I hope that was okay. So remember, wisdom and friendship, we need good friendships. Why? Ultimately, to help us follow Jesus better, right? And so I want to invite now a very good friend of mine. This brother and I, we met in the States in Alabama. And it was great that God allowed us to connect. And over the last, how many years? 3, 4, 5 years. And he's just in town visiting us. And I'm going to invite him to finish off the message. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Ben. Thank you so much. Wow, what a word, eh? Man, it is all about relationship. It's all about friendship. How many of you have been enjoying the series on Proverbs?
Yeah.
So good, right? Yeah. My name is Jim, for those of you who have not yet met, and my wife, Yui, and I, we're so privileged to be here these 2 weeks. We've been enjoying Sun Life, and man, Perth is such a beautiful city. Actually, my first time down under. We're actually from Bangkok, Thailand. Any other Thai people or anyone that's been to Bangkok or heard of Bangkok? Yeah, and we actually live there. And before I moved to Thailand, I had the privilege of serving 15 years in China as a church planner, missionary pastor. And what Pastor Ben was sharing this morning, I can just attest to the fact that it's so true. That's how our church grew there. It was through relationship, through friendship, through people connecting and then reaching out to other people. And I want to spend a few minutes just sharing about that today. We were just so blessed. We started with 5 people in a living room, in a small group. And within 5 years' time, we saw that grow to a church that was meeting three times on the weekend with weekend attendance between 400 and 500 people. And I just want to show you a real quick clip of our work there.
Sharing the gospel in China, as many of you know, comes with a whole host of challenges. But in the last 4 years, we've seen God do the unthinkable. And with the help of an incredible team, He's graced us to build a healthy, growing, cutting-edge church despite the circumstances. We believe the church is God's plan for reaching the unreached. And 4 years ago, in the midst of unprecedented urbanization here in China, God spoke to us to plant a church here in our city of 7 million, the capital of one of the most unreached provinces in China. The words I heard in my heart from the Lord that day were simple. Reach the city, and you reach the region. And from that tiny apartment living room, we now have grown to a church meeting in our own facility with 3 services each weekend. This past Easter, we had over 500 people celebrate His resurrection with us. And what Jesus is doing here in our church is more than we ever could have asked for or imagined. Each week, whether it be through music, video, or the message, many first-time guests are hearing the gospel for the first time in a way they can understand. Virtually every weekend, people are coming to the Lord for the first time, while so many others are growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. In the last 4 years since we've started the church, we've seen over 500 people make first-time decisions. Last year alone, we saw nearly 200 people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and many of them we also had the privilege to baptize. But it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop with praying a prayer, getting baptized. Many of those who have made decisions and been baptized have now joined our serve team and serve regularly in guest services, on the production team, in Kid City, and on our worship team. Jesus is making all things new in China, and we are so privileged to be a part of the new thing He is doing here through our church, pioneering a new way of urban ministry. Last year, our church worship band released its first CD of worship songs that we translated and produced in Mandarin for the first time ever. Now, these songs are being downloaded through social media and sung all throughout the country. We also just recently expanded our kids ministry, giving us more space to reach the children and families of our city. This past Easter, we had over 90 kids attend, many of them hearing about Easter for the first time. We also have a host of people who go out regularly to serve the poor in our area through community outreach. And in our weekly small groups, people are connecting with each other, sharing life together, and encouraging one another in their relationship with Christ. We are also so excited that this year, we will be sending out our very first missionary. Ah Deng is one of our original staff that helped start our church, serves here every weekend, and now we have the honor of sending him to Tibet, one of the most unreached areas in the world, to plant churches and reach the unreached. He is finishing up his missionary training in the next few months and hopes to make the move later this year. We also have hosted 2 regional leadership conferences the past 2 years and have many other churches coming to us asking for help and looking at ways to partner together. And this summer, we will be hosting our first ever national youth conference. And we know this is just the beginning.
I just want to say it's only by God's grace that we could see and be a part of that in China. We saw over 1,000 people in just a few short years come to the Lord, hundreds baptized, and it's only by God's grace, amen? It's only by God's grace. One of my life verses is 2 Corinthians 9:8, and it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Amen? It's all by God's grace. Everything we do, it's by God's grace. But you know what? The thing about grace is you have to admit you need it in order to receive it. What does James say? He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the... And can I just be honest with you this morning? Sometimes it's hard for me to be humble. Sometimes I just want to be transparent with you. Is that okay? Sometimes I like being right. Sometimes I don't like being wrong. I should actually be more honest. I hate being wrong. I loathe being wrong. To me, being right, it's kind of a big deal. And I know this is probably just me this morning. I know none of you struggle with this. But maybe I can just have a counseling session with you and just get this off my chest. But I when I realize I'm wrong, or when I realize that I've lost the argument, it's a big deal. I like winning the argument. I can real quick go into lawyer mode. You know, we preachers are good at this. And start making my case and defend myself and get that point out there. And then I can breathe and because I'm right. And I know, this is just me, but I think this morning, if we can be honest here in church, maybe you could identify with what I'm saying. I think really this is something that we all have in common. It's a struggle that we all have. We love being right. We hate being wrong. We try to do our best to avoid that awkwardness of being wrong. Man, I found out that, that person actually put me in my place, and, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. We have our opinions, and like Pastor Ben said, on social media, man, that's the greatest place to air those opinions and to share with everyone how smart we are and how other people don't know as much as we do, And many times, if we're honest, we're so caught up in being right, we're so caught up in ourselves that we don't really care if other people don't know what we know. We don't really care what other people think. You haven't had the experiences I've had. You don't know what I know. Whatever. Fine. As long as I know, that's okay. Whatever it is, I'm right, and that's enough. And what happens many times, we Christians, we can take this same attitude into our churches, into our spiritual lives. And if you're not a follower of Christ this morning here, I want to apologize to you, because sometimes we Christians do this and we take this idea of, I'm right, I know what's going on, I know the truth, into our spiritual lives, into the things of God. Anytime, an argument comes up about spiritual things, we just care about whether or not we're right. We just care about whether or not we have won the argument. And we think all of our energy needs to be focused here. We are the church. We are enlightened. They are deceived. We are right. They are wrong. And we focus our energy here. And if other people don't understand why we believe what we believe, why we live the way we live, why we think the way we think, why we do what we do, if they haven't had a chance to hear the gospel, if they haven't had a chance to experience God like we have, many times we don't really care. We believe, I'm right. I know God. I'm saved. I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Bless God. Thank the Lord. That's good enough. But actually, when we do this, we ultimately miss the purpose of being the church. God has so much for us, but many times our eyes are just on this battlefield of right and wrong. We think we need to focus all of our attention on winning the argument. And as long as our theology is right, as long as we got some good sermons and good classes and good music and some good small group and some good material and some good books, hey, we'll be okay. But we have to know that there's so much more that God has for us. There's so much more. We have to understand that as a church, knowing the truth is important. Having the right theology is important. Feeling God and having some good worship music, that's all important. But we can't stop here. This is just the tip of the iceberg, because God has so much more for us than just being right. Now, today, I think it's really incredible, because it's like God knew that we would struggle with this in 2022, because in this verse we're going to look at, this passage we're going to look at, we're going to discover a principle here that is going to help us unlock our true calling as followers of Jesus Christ. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this principle that we're going to see, it drove Paul to plant churches, to risk his life. It was the very principle that was the heartbeat of Jesus's ministry and spurred Jesus's 12 disciples to go out and change the world. And I hope that today, each one of us will wrestle with this truth. Now, let me tell you real quick before we look at this scripture. If anyone had an excuse to be proud in what they knew and be content with being right, it was the Apostle Paul. He was brilliant. He was highly educated. He was smarter than smart. But we're going to see here, look at his humility in these few verses. This is a letter that Paul wrote the Corinthian church, starting with verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9. And he's teaching them, he's encouraging them, he's challenging them, and I believe he's challenging us today as well. Verse 19, he says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Paul says, "I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. But I'm not using that freedom to serve myself. Rather, I'm using that to serve others. I'm using it to win people
to bring people to Christ. This is my purpose. Verse 20, he goes on, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Paul is saying, connecting with these people that are a little different from him, he says, this is more important than my own convenience. Declaring that my theology is right, it's not the most important thing here. He's saying, I'm not willing to give up my ability to make a difference just so I can make a point. So important. He continues, verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Paul said, I'm not going to mistake the secondary thing as the primary thing, because my purpose here is not to win the argument. My purpose here is to influence. My purpose here is to build a relationship. I'm willing to lay aside these non-essentials so I can find some common ground, so I can connect with these people, so they can receive what I'm saying and I can win them to Christ. Because my goal here is not just to have the correct faith or the right viewpoint or for people to think how smart I am. My goal here is to connect people to Christ, to win them to Christ, to the weak. Verse 22, I became weak to win the weak. He says, I know people are going to talk about me hanging around these weak people, being willing to converse with them and connect with them, but I don't really care about that, because right here, this is my driving force. It's to win these people to Christ. And in the second half of this verse, he tells us exactly what his MO is. He says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Paul says to him, finding common ground, it's more important than letting that person know that I'm right. And how many of you know it's really hard to find common ground with someone when you're just out to make a point? If that's your point, to make a point, it's really hard to connect. And then in verse 23, Paul drops the bomb. Are you ready for this? Paul says, this is his burden right here. Don't miss this. This is what he says. He says, I do all this to prove my point and impress you. Is that what it says? I do all this to let other people know how smart I am. Is that what it says? No, it's not that. What does it say? It says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Do you not know, verse 24, that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. So run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul says, don't be just satisfied with being in the race. He said, run to win. Don't be satisfied with just having the right theology and being saved, that you're going to heaven and being born again. He said, no, you got to run to win people. So what's Paul saying here in this passage? Through his example, what I believe he's telling us and what I believe God is saying to us today is, don't be content with just being right. Be committed to being heard. If you forget everything else I say this morning, if you can just remember this point, don't be content with just being right. Be committed to being heard. Can we just say that together right now? Don't be content with just being right. Be committed to being heard. This is how we're going to see the city of Perth transformed with the gospel. This is how we're going to see the lost come home. We have to realize that our calling is not to make a point, but to make a difference. Jesus, this was the ethos of his ministry. It was to connect with people where they were. He went to great lengths to make himself heard, not to prove that he was right. He was right in heaven, but he decided to come down to earth to save us, to connect with us. This is what the church is supposed to be about. As his followers, we can't be content with anything less. We're not going to be content with just being right. We're going to be committed to being heard. Coming every weekend is important. Experiencing God's presence is important, but we have to know that God has more for us. We need to be all about this message that we have, which is Jesus Christ, it being heard by others. Why is it so important? Because Romans tells us that faith comes by what? Right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Romans 10:14 says that if they don't hear, they can't believe. So we got to make sure our voice is being heard. Otherwise, they don't have a chance to come into God's family, to come into his kingdom. Being heard is so critical. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save the lost. And he wants his body here on earth to continue that work of reaching people. He calls us, like Jordan said today, to leave the 99 and go after the one. He calls us to be the church that is a force of unstoppable good in this world, bringing hope to the hopeless, bringing light to the darkness, bringing healing to the broken. And so because that's his heart for us, because that's the heart of Jesus, we're not going to be content with just being right. We're going to be committed to being heard. That's what I believe God wants you to know today. Real quick as I finish, two things that you need to get rid of if you're going to let your voice be heard, if you're going to step out and be willing for others to have a chance to come into the kingdom because of what you're saying. You got to get rid of two things. Number one, I want you to throw away your mirror. Throw away your mirror, okay? What are you saying, Jim? Stop looking at yourself. Stop putting the focus on yourself. What happens when you look in the mirror? You see all your imperfections. You see all your shortcomings. I need to shave here. Got a wrinkle here, right? Get your eyes on Jesus. Realize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? And if he is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Get your eyes on him, because our lack of finances, our lack of experience, our lack of resources, that won't stop God. If he's called you to do something, you can trust in him that he is more than enough. And number two, you need to throw away your whistle. You need to throw away your whistle and stop being the theology referee and the moral police, standing on the sidelines, not willing to get in the game and trying to criticize what every church, what every believer, even those that don't believe what you believe, trying to control their behavior. Hello? If we Christians, if we spent more time controlling our own behavior, we'd have a lot more influence with those outside the church, right? So throw away your whistle and get in the game, amen? Start working to make your voice heard. I want to encourage you this morning. Lastly, after you get rid of your mirror and get rid of your whistle, pick up your megaphone. What do I mean by that? A megaphone, what does it do? It's like this microphone. It amplifies your voice. It enables other people to hear, right? It enables other people to be able to hear what you're saying. It enables your voice to go further. It makes your voice easier to be heard. So I want you to ask God today, how you can use your life, your relationships, your experiences, your resources to help other people have a chance to hear. You know, when we increase our ability and expand our ability to help others, we broaden our influence. So as we close today, I just want us to take some time. I don't know if the worship team is going to come up here, but I just want to take some time right now and just ask God this question. I just want to encourage you. Ask your Heavenly Father, how can I magnify my voice? How can I leverage my life, my relationships, my resources, my energy so that other people can hear, so that my voice can be heard, so that I can make a difference where I'm at? And I want to encourage you, don't just stop here today, this week. For the next 7 days, before you go out in the morning, whether it's to work or school, ask God that question. Say, God, what can I do? What can I do? I believe he's going to speak to you as you do that. Let's pray right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your heart to reach us. You are such a generous, loving God. And we want to be that, Lord, here on earth, your body, to reach the world. God, we pray you give us incredible wisdom, God, right now with what we've just heard. Give us courage to go out and do what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.